Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Thinking about a new vehicle? Trust the team that's been taking care of customers for 70 years. The Cannon family has helped thousands drive home happy. Come take a test drive today and see why. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal. Nobody.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Another week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Bob, Kelly, Dima, we're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here at Oak Grove, Mississippi. Opening segment of the show, every day sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Today, no different. Great place to cater your next event. Great place to have a good meal with your family tonight. Dickey's always does a great job. Golden Eagles go 3-1 on the week, move up a spot in the D1 baseball poll up to number 11 in the nation this morning. Perfect game has the Golden Eagles sitting steady at 12, and the RPI is at 3. Golden Eagles now 19-5, 3-3 in the league after a really exciting weekend series at the Pete. Let's go straight to Coach Christian Ostrander. And Coach, just kind of a view from 30,000 feet, a loss Friday night, a really solid win Saturday, and a thriller yesterday, and a hard-fought weekend series win for the Golden Eagles. It was quite exciting all weekend, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean it. I know what it felt like in that dugout, and that every pitch was so meaningful, and I'm sure from the fans and from the stands that it felt intense too. So it was just a great college baseball series, and we're just very proud of our guys for sticking it out and winning a series the hard way, losing on Friday and backs against the wall, and they got it done and showed a lot of poise.
How tough is that, Coach, to drop a Friday night game and then come back and win back-to-back games against a good team? That's hard, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's not easy. It's a tough response, but they did it, before, and that's what you draw on your past, chapters of your story, and you look back to, Santa Barbara, and, that happened on Friday, and then really same type games. You just had to really fight grit and claw to win, those next two, but they knew they could do it. And last weekend at Arkansas State, you lose on Friday, win Saturday, and didn't get it done, so we've seen both sides, and I was just proud of the response of these guys, making sure that they were going to be up for the match and the fight and whatever it took.
Coach, another incredible performance by your bullpen, and particularly, I thought Kobe Allen pitched really well Friday night when you brought him in, and then obviously Cross Sibley was outstanding Saturday. And then yesterday you get another really unbelievable performance. Your bullpen comes out, and they just shut the door on people. At this point in the season, have you ever had a more talented, deep bullpen than what we're seeing right now, Coach Oz?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. I think there's still a lot of good arms that haven't got many opportunities, which is tough, but when you have a deeper staff, that can happen. So I'm very, very pleased with that. And the challenge is just, making sure we're using these bodies and everything that we have the right way, and I don't sit here and tell you that every answer's clear right now, but I like the characteristic, I like the opportunities that it could show, but very proud of what they've done thus far.
Coach Oz, I want to go back to Saturday and Sunday. It's unusual in any type of baseball matchup that starting pitchers are not named, but two TBAs. When you went through that thought process, what tipped the scales one way or another to the decisions that you eventually made?
You're talking about for me, we had a TBA for Saturday. I knew who I was throwing. I was just kind of playing the game. They gave me two TBAs, so I kind of did the same.
Gotcha.
Speaking of Saturday, talk for just a minute about the job that Cross Sibley came in and did. He had ice water in his veins, Coach.
Yeah, he's fared well against him in these last 3 years. Just left-handed arm was a good matchup for him. And but not just that; it's more than that. Cross, you know, he did what he needed to do, and was very greedy and covered almost six innings, and that was huge. And it helped us win that game, and it helped us have pieces for the next game. And that's so one great performance can impact more than just one game.
Coach, you have so many players in your bullpen who are bridge pieces for you. Sivily, Allen, Sundstrom. You know, when you're trying to figure out your starting rotation currently, I mean, how much of it where it's like you don't want to take away those bridge pieces, but maybe they would be better roles for you to extend in the start? I'm just curious on that balance.
Yeah, that's a great question. If I knew that answer, you know, if you knew what the crystal ball would tell you, if you did it, it'd be easy. But you got to go with what you feel, too. I think the characteristics that we have with this staff, you know, there's nothing wrong with trying to use openers. So, you know, you use, you know, some of your deeper pin guys early. Yeah, they might get you through four or five, and yeah, you know, you're in the game, but you still have another four or five to cover. Right. I've always believed in getting stronger, and you're the best you can. Don't get me wrong. You want to get out of the gates good, too. We have that potential, and we will. There's not a doubt in my mind. And so you just got to really, you know, put the pieces in the right place. And, you know, and I do a whole lot of thinking about it. And me, myself, Coach Leger, and the other coaches, we're constantly evaluating it and looking and see what's the best chance to give us a chance to win each game that we play.
I guess that's the result of having such a deep bullpen, is that you can have the ability to do the quote-unquote opener sort of thing for weekend games.
That's right. I mean, if you weren't built that way, if you weren't, you know, heavy on that back end side, then it wouldn't make sense to do that.
Right.
And so you just got to, you know, play with the cards that you're dealt and the characteristics of it. And do we have other guys that go out there to start right now? And yeah, absolutely. But games are won, you know, there's a lot of on the line, a lot of leverage moments in that, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth innings that you want to make sure you stay covered there. So, like I said, I think, you know, the pictures, it'll show itself. It'll get clearer as we go moving forward. And I like the direction we're going.
Was the original plan, Coach, for Sivily to go that long? Because that left Clark then absolutely fresh for yesterday.
Oh, we were going to let him eat as long as he could eat. Yeah, okay. I mean, it was, you know, pitch count wide. He got him to 75, I think, close to it. And he's built for that. So it was... No, it was great. It probably wasn't on my bingo card that he'd go 5 2/3, but you know, it's very proud that he did, and he earned that opportunity.
Coach, from a fan's viewpoint, Friday night, Colby Allen just looked like the old Colby Allen. He just looks more comfortable in that relief role. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, I believe you're right. You know, I'm not going to speak for him, but I know the conversations that we have had together and the conversations we had to kind of get to the decision we made, and, you know, a lot of just, you know, talking man-to-man truth and honesty. So I think he would tell you that does feel right to him. Not that the other part wasn't comfortable or whatnot, it just... It's a different animal. I mean, it is. And people that haven't done it, it's hard to really explain to them. But I've been there. I remember being a guy that started in my playing career and also was a closer. And they're different. And, so you can't sit there and fault the guy if one feels better than the other.
And I thought, Dima, when we were talking to Coach Creel Wednesday, made such a good point that it – moving a kid from the Friday night starter's job back to the bullpen and not getting a pouted up player – says everything in the world about Colby Allen as a young man, doesn't it, Coach?
Oh, yeah. I wish everybody out there just knew everything that we know about him. And but he's, you know, as good as they come, and he loves this school. He loves this program, loves this community, and he wants to do whatever it takes to help it be successful.
I know I asked you this yesterday, Coach, but I wanted you to comment on this player on the show today, which is Gray Eubanks, who from the DH spot, 3-for-4 yesterday, big day again on Saturday. I mean, really starting to maybe give you an answer on that spot that's been a question mark over the last few weeks.
Yeah, we all knew Gray can hit, and he's going to hit. He won't stop. I don't believe he's not going to be perfect. We don't need him to be, but I think he's going to have a bright future here. Extremely strong young man. He's got a really great center core that he stays, you know, into that ground, and it just he can launch the ball. But he's got great plate discipline. He's got good eye for a young age, and that's only going to grow with experience. And you know, he stays pretty calm in the moment. And so, yeah, very proud to see him doing it. But, you know, without sounding arrogant by any means, trust me, we're not surprised. If anything, we might have hoped we could be greedy and not have to, you know, utilize it this year. But it's obviously right. time, and especially with Higdon being out, there's no doubt that we did the right thing, you know, 10 days ago of starting getting his feet wet.
It's funny, Coach, because we talked to him yesterday, and he said that before coming to college, he'd really never even seen like a sinker or slider or anything like that. So I asked him, I said, well, did hitting against Southern Miss's pitching in the fall prepare you for the spring? He said, oh, yeah.
Oh, no, they got their teeth kicked in a little bit in the impression. Right. But, you know, but that was good. It gets them ready.
Right.
All right, we're talking to baseball coach Christian Ostrander, Golden Eagles 11th in the nation this week in the D1 baseball poll, and hanging up there in that top five in RPI, so it's a pretty exciting times. 19-5 on the season, but more tests right around the corner starting tomorrow, and then this weekend. We'll finish up talking about this weekend and what's in store for the Golden Eagles next as we roll along with Christian Ostrander on a Monday. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Second segment of the show sponsored every day by Eagle Tire West. They're on Highway 98 West. That's where Matt Warren and his staff, that's where you'll find them. They sell quality Goodyear products, full service auto and truck service next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West. Family owned and operated since 1985 and big Southern Miss supporters. Buy your tires and get your service work done at Eagle Tire West on Highway 98 West. Coach Christian Ostrander joins us here as we're going to move ahead here in just a moment. But, Coach, you have so many really good pitchers. It's hard not to talk about Camden Sustrom with a 0.00 ERA, the great comeback I think we've seen from Josh Ock already this year. But I'll tell you, kid, we haven't asked you much about, but just seems to be steady and important to you is Camden Sustrom. Can you talk about him for just a moment?
Yeah, Sonny's been great. He's been used in many roles, and certainly can start if we needed him to. But he's so valuable in the bullpen because he bounces back so good too. You can get two or three appearances out of him a week unless that gets too extended. But he's got the ability to cover, you know, three, four, five, six innings if needs to, and they've also got the ability to come in and get you out of a jam and, you know, in a shorter stint. So he's really grown and just so proud of his development and, you know, where he's come from in a year. You know, had a good year last year for us, helped us out a lot, but obviously it's growing and it's kind of doing what I thought it would do or could do and what we thought it could do. And I think it sets him up really well, not just for now, but the rest of this season next year. So,
and I got to say this about yesterday's game. Dima was there watching it too. Almost immediately when you brought in Camden Clark, you almost had the sense the game was over. He just looked untouchable yesterday.
Oh, he was. I mean, he threw 30 pitches, 25 strikes, and with high quality stuff. I mean, it's not just, you know, dropping it in there. It's 95 mile an hour fastballs with a plus changeup and a couple sliders. I mean, it's real stuff and high leverage moments against some good hitters, and he was stoic, and he just said, you know, let's go, give me the ball, and very proud of him.
That changeup just plays so well off his fastball, Coach. You know, the hitter's just gearing up for his fastball, and then that changeup just drops. I mean, it was that was honestly the first time I think I've seen him that confident with that pitch, I think.
It's had that capability. We've seen it. We've seen it that good before, and I think that's such a separator for him. When he has an elite four-seam fastball that has unbelievable metrics, and then you add that, man, it gets tough. It's going to be you're in between, and we felt that. Yet we finally got him in between in that batter's box when he got in there. They had no idea, you know. They had to cheat to a heater or risk getting, you know, embarrassed by a changeup, but pick one, so... but it was fun. It was really special to watch.
Boy, Dima, they were swinging over that changeup.
No doubt. You know, he's appeared on the mound 12 times this season, 14 in third innings pitched, 5 hits, no earned runs, 17 strikeouts and 4 walks. That's a 0.63 whip, Kelly.
Well, he needs to tighten up.
Maybe just get a little bit better.
A little bit. Well, Coach, now you've got to try to figure out something that nobody else has figured out how to do, and that's beat Mississippi State up in Starkville.
Yeah, that's what I hear. There's 16-0
at home, yeah.
And well, they got the do factor maybe. So you know, it's they're great, man. They're a great team, and you know, I know there's even more want to you know, pop us after we got one from them here. And but it's a great challenge. We're looking forward to going over and competing up there tomorrow night against a really good team.
Now, Kelly, real quick, you said he needs to tighten up. If the stats I got off the internet this morning were accurate, Sundstrom is the guy that really has to tighten up. 32 strikeouts, but 3 walks.
How are we winning these games? That's you know, with horrible.
That's ridiculous, Coach. Yeah. Oz. 32 strikeouts and 3 walks.
It's good to have strike throwers.
I think you got a few.
10-1 ratio. Yeah, that's pretty good, I'd say.
Yep.
Well, I used to be able to do that in, you know, MLB The Show on the PlayStation.
Coach, when you were pitching, you were a starter and then a closer. Is that what I understood you to say?
When I was in junior college, I was a starter. And then when I got to Delta State, I was a bullpen guy. And, I was a closer in 1995, I guess, that team. And I started off, but then I got ended up beaten out by a future big leaguer. So I was his setup man. He was mine, then I turned into his. But – yeah, I was more of a back-end guy at my last 2 years.
All right, well, your coaching skills are renowned, but who is the coach in your life that taught you the most about pitching when you were a player?
Ooh, that's probably going to have to go to Terry Thompson. He was my junior college coach, you know, and I was lucky. I was around some good pitching guys in high school or, you know, all-star baseball, whatever, you know, and that – invested in me, but Coach Thompson at Mississippi Delta, know, was a huge influence on me from stuff that when I started coaching, I found myself carrying so much of that.
Mm-hmm. And then you went to a really high caliber program, though, at Delta State, and I'm sure that your skills continue to develop there, correct?
They did. They sure did. I mean, it was, you know, you get there then, and the role they put me in there out of the bullpen, I kind of loved it. I wanted to throw every day, and there was times I would throw both games of doubleheader. I mean, I was like, you know, anytime, let's, you know, just give me the baseball, and I could bounce back pretty good. So I enjoyed it. I think I got to pitch in like 30 games 1 year, and then that was fun, always knowing you had a shot to pitch.
So, now, of course, Jeremy McClain was a great pitcher at Delta. Did you ever have to bail him out, Coach, save him from a bad pitching performance?
I don't know. I usually just had to go finish. I'd get the ball after Jeremy. We'd have a lead because he held them down and we scored runs. And all I'd have to do is just get the final, you know, 3-6 outs and and stuff. But no, he didn't have too many. I didn't have to bail him out very often. I think he won like 50 games at Delta State. So he was fun. Fun to play with and fun to, I don't want to say coach him because he was kind of like a coach with me when I started coaching there, but it was fun to be around and watch.
He was really good, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, he was really good. I mean, dude could put it anywhere he wanted to, and back in those days when you're running some low 90s, I mean, that's probably equivalent to like 93 to 95 now. I mean, it was pretty powerful. He could pitch. He was a competitor.
Camden Clark or Jeremy McClain?
I think. Right now, I'm going to have to go Camden Clark.
I think if you asked Jeremy McClain that answer, he'd say Camden Clark.
He'd go with Camden.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he would, too.
Yeah.
All right, Coach, last question for me. I don't think it's any secret the team had been in a bit of a batting slump, but it kind of looked like to me this weekend those guys are coming out of that and we're swinging the bats a lot better this weekend.
Yeah, like I said, you're going to have ups and downs, ebbs and flows with everything, and, you know, you're not always going to be at your top performance, and you got to weather that in baseball. So you just got to stay true to it, keep working, and our coaches do a great job working with them, and you trust your guys, and they're gonna figure it out. So, but I thought that this weekend was a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a funny game, though, you guys, when you look at the overall standings, and Louisiana Monroe is up there at the top. Yeah.
They're improved, though.
Yeah, well, for sure. But
Coach, I'm just curious, another type Johnny Holstaff approach tomorrow night in Starkville?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And final one thing I do want to mention to you, two Sun Belt teams in the top 15 in this morning's D1 poll.
Oh, Coastal?
That's just good for the league, isn't it, Coach?
It is. Yeah, it is. You know, Coastal's doing their thing. And, we pull for all those Sun Belt teams except when we play them.
Yep, exactly. Well, Coach, we always appreciate your time very much. And
if they play Coastal.
Yeah, if they play Coastal. Well, it'll have to be in Montgomery because
right.
It's not going to be during the regular season. But that's a subject for another show. Thanks very much, Coach. We look forward to talking to you next week, sir.
All right. Thank you all.
Christian Ostrander, everybody, as they get ready to go up to Starkville, Mississippi.
Yeah, Keith Gill, the commissioner of the Sun Belt, can do a pretty good job of picking an NCAA basketball tournament, but apparently doesn't make a very good baseball schedule.
Well, I will say this about Mississippi. Now you got all three teams in the top 20.
Yeah.
And you've got all three teams in the top 15 of RPI. That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great baseball state, of course. And everybody every year, if they have a good year, they're going to have a chance to host. Mm. I really can't remember when was the last time we had three Mississippi hosts.
And it's really trickle-down effect because you got some JUCO teams that are in the top 20 in their different respective divisions. Mm-hmm. So it really doesn't matter what level you go to. Mississippi, well-represented on the diamond.
But the news of the day is that Oz is going to take Camden Clark over Jeremy McClain as the starter.
Well, I think the context of that was now? You mean like today, as in March 23rd, 2026? Yeah, I think I'd be taking Camden Clark. Now, we must insert Jack Duggan's 20-mile-an-hour fastball into this equation.
Well, that was unhittable.
Right.
And then
the changeup.
Oh, that 18-mile-an-hour changeup that Hill Denson described.
Right.
Just had batters falling off their feet trying to put
it. Unhittable because the batters are going, are you serious?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the batters just lose patience after a while, wait and watch the ball get there, and they just start swinging.
Right? I've heard of an Ephus pitch, but that's
they
ridiculous.
They start Happy Gilmore-ing from the batter's box.
All right, softball continues to roll along as well, and some exciting basketball over the weekend. We'll try to cover all that when we come
Spring
back.
Football starts tomorrow.
Exactly right. Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. It's on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Alexa or Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
You know, it's a lot of fun keeping up with your favorite baseball team, but it's more important to keep up with the most important player, and that's you. You can do that by getting an annual physical, eating right, exercising, staying close touch with your doctor, make your health as good as it can be. Forest Health help you with expert medical care closer to home. We appreciate their sponsorship of our program. Forest Health. .org and Mobe Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. Check out their Facebook page. They're on Hardy right across the street from the campus, and the food is always delicious. The coffee is always hot and good, and we really appreciate all that Mobe does. All right, before we move on, David, one quick observation. You and I saw all three games. I think the pitching came as no surprise, but do you get the sense that maybe they're coming out of the slump a little bit hitting-wise?
You know, I hope so. You know, there was some really real encouragement, so I thought, from the hitting perspective. Friday night's game was not good, let's just be honest. Friday night's game was not good. So for them to bounce back Saturday and get those 11 hits, and I think they scored in almost every inning other than two on Saturday's game. So I kind of took that as a wash, and I kind of said, I want to see it again, and I did see it again on Sunday. They started off pretty slow. You know, I don't think they had a hit until the third inning, but once they finally got that hit, they were able to, you know, string some together, just five runs scored. But once again, we've said along the lot that five runs seems to be the magic number, and it was yesterday. And tomorrow night, you know, against Mississippi State, you know, I want to see them be able to swing the bat a little bit. That's an offensive park. It's advertised by Mississippi State, 16-0 record there. Their offense plays really well there. Southern Miss is going to have to score a lot of runs tomorrow night. Even with how good the bullpen is, I still think Southern Miss is going to need 8-9 runs to win tomorrow night.
And I don't think you can overstate how important the game Sunday was for Southern Miss to win.
I agree.
Because when you look at the standing, and I know we're early.
Considering they're down 4-0, too.
Yeah, we're only two weekends into the season. But when you look at how some of these other teams are emerging, 3-3 looks a lot better than 2-4.
No doubt.
And Troy is one of those teams that you would expect toward the end of the year you're going to need a tiebreaker against, or potentially. Sure. So, man, that was huge.
I agree. And, you know, we talked about Troy's offense coming into last weekend, and we said this is an offense puzzlingly have been bad from the offensive plate. And we were kind of like, well, we kind of hope they continue to be bad this weekend. Mm-hmm. They hit the ball, and Southern Miss gave up the most hits they've given up in a weekend series all weekend this weekend. I think it was 36 or so, 37, something like that. Right. And so Troy's offense really was able to hit most of USM's pitchers, which was impressive enough in that scenario. Yep. It's just their bullpen just couldn't hold the day at the end
of
the day.
That's their weak link, is their bullpen.
For sure.
But you're right. They can swing to bats now. Troy's going to score a lot of runs against teams they play.
It does seem that everybody's hitting now is starting to pick up as the temperatures are moving up a little bit. The ball's going to get a little bit more lively.
Sure.
But that was really big yesterday
Kelly, they couldn't afford to lose that game.
No, and look,
they really fall in a hole if they lose that game.
Whether you win by four or one, it doesn't matter. Just get that win, and that was a big one over a good team.
We got some interviews lined up this afternoon. We're going to bring you later in this week. We're going to be talking to Colby Allen, get his thoughts about being back. In the reliever role, Matthew Russo, who had a really big weekend. I think everybody was happy. And Camden Sundstrom, who I think has been a little overshadowed by this pitching staff, but Dima, I'm sure you agree. He's been rock solid, man. He's been good. No doubt.
Obviously, he had that tough outing at Arkansas State on that Friday night where he gave up four and runs. So that kind of spiked his ERA a little bit to where I think it's in the three right now. Before that, it was like under one. He looked solid yesterday. Four innings pitched, no runs. So he's a guy, and I said it, that he could start. So you could see him starting maybe a Saturday game, but that's kind of what I was asking Oz. I said, what's the balance in? Because he said it. He said, we have openers and then we have starters. There's a difference in that. What's the balance right now of these bridge pieces, the Cross Sivlies, the Camden Sundstroms, the Colby Allens, who all theoretically could start, but right now they're doing so well in those bridge piece roles.
Yeah.
You know, why not roll out a Dylan Causey or a Thomas Crabtree or a McCarty English?
Right.
See what they can give you. Maybe they can give you three or four innings and leave those guys in the roles that matter.
And if they get in trouble, you've got plenty of arms to go to.
Right. That's my point. Yeah.
The perspective of some of the fans on the whole Colby Allen situation is interesting to me because, you know, I've heard some fans say, man, that's got to be tough for Colby to be a starter and then have to go to the bullpen like it's some sort of punishment. There is no difference.
He looked like Colby
as far as
him.
Look, and there are some guys that are head coaches. There are some guys that are assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. You know, you do what you need to do under the circumstances. But if you give a person a choice as to where they're most comfortable, head coach or assistant coach or starter reliever, and Colby was doing what they needed him to do at the time to start. But if he's given a choice between starting and relieving, he says, I want to go the reliever route.
I thought about you Saturday watching Cross pitch because he was electric. And it was almost like he was so calm he would go take a nap between innings and come back out.
You know what's funny about Cross is we talked to him after the game and he said, yeah, that wasn't really my best stuff today. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, sometimes it just have to be like – in the mental space when I don't have my best stuff. I wanted to ask Oz that just a minute ago, and because Oz, you know, we interviewed Cross first, and then Oz comes up and goes, "Well, we wouldn't have won that game without Cross."
I don't think they would have won Saturday without Cross.
You know, when he was a kid, sometimes the guys would call him Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
Uh-huh.
You know, Eeyore the. The donkey who just kind of plodded along.
Well, let me tell you, buddy, they couldn't touch him Saturday, man. He was tremendous. I'll tell you who else is doing great, guys. That's our softball team.
How about them?
Let's fill it in, guys.
Set a team record yesterday. Yeah,
six jacks.
You talk about the guys starting to hit the baseball, the women hitting the softball. 13 runs on Saturday for a win. 13 runs on Sunday for a win on the road at App State. Now that moves the Eagles now to 4-2 in Sun Belt play. They're 21-13 overall, and you think, well, App State. Well, let me tell you about App State. They're 21-9, and they went in there, and the Eagles put it on them. Jolie Hayes had two of those six home runs. Madeline Graham pitched a little over four innings to get that the win yesterday at 7-4. That's a series win on the road for the Eagles now. And again, the youngest team that Natalie Poole has put on the field. But and it looked like after they stubbed their toe on Friday and got beat in a five-run affair that things might not be so rosy, but bounced back Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. Two big wins.
No doubt. I mean, it's big for them. And like we said, you know, that the confidence that they built early in the season, getting those wins in non-conference, has really set them up well for conference play. 4-2 start, you know, and hopefully they can keep it going. But they now have two big series wins over Louisiana and App State. So nice to see them starting to find themselves a little bit.
And credit to Coach Poole that she knew she had a young team, and she did a great job scheduling them early in the year. She knew exactly how to schedule this team, like Dima just said, to where they can be pushed but have confidence coming in, as opposed to getting wiped out early and you go in with very little
confidence. It was a good schedule combination of wading pool opponents and deep end opponents, right? Mm-hmm. A good mix of very strong and weaker teams so that you can see what it's like to have to compete at a higher level, but also get some wins under your belt.
They still played, you know, a game against Mississippi State, you know, teams like that. But then they also had other games where they just kind of wiped out opponents. And then they had, you know, the middle opponents where to see kind of how you stack up against, you know, a Louisiana Tech or, you know, the teams like that. So, you know, I thought it was a brilliant schedule, and it's starting to pay off for them.
Man, softball has changed. I think of all the sports over softball and volleyball, because back in the day, Dima, you may not remember this, you may not be old enough, but in volleyball, it used to be where you couldn't score a point unless your team was serving. Did you know that?
No.
Well, now, of course, there's a point on every single play. Softball was so pitching dominated back in the day that games were 2-1, 1-0, 3-2. Now, look at, I mean, all the runs that they're putting up in softball games.
He knows all this because he played beach volleyball at Iowa State.
Oh, boy.
That is actually why they quit allowing beach volleyball players to wear bathing suits and made them put on uniforms was Kelly's senior year at the
I took up photography.
I don't know
that
why
year.
You put images in our listeners'
I
heads.
I took up photography that year, for some, as I recall. But softball team
that's,
doing
that's insane.
Quite well this year, and the guys come right back home next weekend against App State.
App State at home before Starkville tomorrow night, which should be a lot of fun, guys. I mean, you know, a top 15 game there.
You're going to give us a report from up there, right?
Yes, I will be headed to that game tomorrow, so I won't be on the show. But I've never been to Starkville for a baseball game. I've been for football and high school football, but I haven't ever been to Doobie Noble, so I was excited to get the opportunity to go tomorrow night.
Now, let me ask you guys this, because news broke out of the SEC over the weekend that Paul Mainieri's been fired as head coach of South Carolina, and the coaching wildfire now is that Coastal Carolina's guy is who South Carolina is going to target. Coastal, as Coach Oz just mentioned, starting to do their thing now, starting to hit their stride in the Sun Belt. They were expected to be strong in the Sun Belt this year, but you have to wonder how much of this talk about them losing their coach to South Carolina, and that hasn't happened yet. Right. There's just talk that it's going to happen, might or might not at all
Isn't
affect
it odd
Coastal.
That they would fire their coach this early in the season?
Well, they've just been terrible, and they weren't very good last year either. So it wasn't surprising to me.
Yeah. Well, Dima and I and Kelly were talking about it before we went on the air. I think that basketball game this weekend between Vanderbilt and Nebraska was about as exciting a collegiate sporting event as I've seen in a long time.
Coach Oz didn't see that game.
No, he asked us where they're playing basketball right now.
As if he's got any other time to do
and
anything.
Kelly's
else.
Alma mater is in the
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16. We'll talk a little
that?
B-ball when we come back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project, you'll find that at MCS Home Center. That's Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to help you, 7329 Highway 98 West. That is MCS Home Center. And we appreciate all they do. As we do DBAT down on Hardy Street, great place for baseball, softball training. I want to go down there one day, Kelly, and me and you, and see if we can hit some of these 95-mile-an-hour fastballs I was watching Camden Clark throw yesterday.
With a 3,000 spin rate and a run of 2.6 feet and all that.
Now, look, when the run's less than 2 feet, I can whammy it, buddy. I'm just going to tell you. I can barrel that thing up.
Okay.
Speed doesn't affect
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you do that, Bob. Yeah, you might Good be luck. Able to, you might be able to hit it, but you'll pull an – hamstring your back out
groin, yeah you
think I was wondering if Oz would let the media go out and just everybody gets one at bat against
would you like
Camden.
To do that?
I would like to do it just to see if we could foul it
all
off.
All right, if you could hit one, if you could bat against one pitcher on the team, who would it be?
Coach Oz.
I'm gonna
Jeremy.
I mean, I wouldn't want to face anybody that anybody knows, that's for sure.
No, who would we put Kelly up against?
I'd like to see him.
Madeline face, Graham, the softball
pitcher. What about Cross
pitcher?
Sively? You could face Cross Sively since he's your old pal.
He'd take it easy on me. I know that.
Yeah, or watch Kelly hit that sinker of Kobe Allen.
Good luck with that.
Be good.
Yeah, as I see that come in, I would say the word, and then I would do it, and I would need new underwear after that.
Sorry I brought that
That's
up.
Exactly what would happen.
Excuse me for bringing that
spring
up.
Spring football tomorrow.
Yeah, spring football starts tomorrow. Blake Anderson's first spring camp that he's been a part of for the head coaching, as far as head coach goes. Obviously, completely new team, so that will be the first look that we get on that new team tomorrow.
Now, I've never been a big spring football guy. Have you guys been?
No, I haven't either, but the first comment that Dima made was, you know, of course, a whole new team. Well, in the sports landscape we're in, the only team that's not brand new every year at Southern Miss is the baseball team. Just about every other team.
I saw that in watching some of the basketball tournament this weekend.
Yeah.
They talk about some kid, and he had been here, and he had been here, and he had been here, and he had been here. It's really kind of sad, isn't it?
It is, and nobody – and
well, I was watching the Florida-Iowa game last night, and they were saying that two players were on the national championship team from last year.
They left the national championship team.
Well, they're all one and done. They went to the draft.
Is that right?
Or more money.
Or more money.
Hey, we were talking earlier. Dima and I both watched it. Man, did Vanderbilt and Nebraska put on a show this weekend, Dima?
It was an entertaining game for sure.
And now your guys, man. Your guys look good, Kelly.
The Cyclones. Yeah, we normally crap the bed in the second round, but we actually got to go into
what
the third.
These references to crapping the bed and changing your underwear. It's just Monday. It's just
good
Monday.
Yeah, the Cyclones. We get to go to Chicago this weekend now and play Tennessee from the SEC.
Rocky Top.
Yeah. But the Big Ten's doing pretty well, Dima.
Yeah, six schools in the Big Ten in the Sweet 16, so that's pretty cool.
It's really exciting stuff, isn't it? The
it really is. That's what I'm saying. It's like college basketball, like in November, you know, when all these like Duke's playing whoever, and it's just not really exciting to me, but this is really exciting.
And I hate to say it, though, but Troy was the cream of the crop of the Sun Belt and goes in there and just gets annihilated by Nebraska
right.
in the first round of the tournament. We've talked about how weak overall the conference is in basketball and the Sun Belt, but that just accentuates it when the very best that the Sun Belt has to offer just gets crushed.
With all due respect, it kind of is a different level. When you're watching
it really is.
Nebraska and Vanderbilt the other night, I don't see that kind of action in the Sun
Belt. No, that's my point. That's my point is it's almost like if you can put it into layman's.
I think it is really one of the greatest sporting events in America, though. I really do. Every year in the NCAA basketball tournament.
It's in the top six for me for sure.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat the Masters, in my opinion.
And it is going to be more.
Snooze.
That is the best sporting event in America, the Masters for sure.
And it is because of the NIL and transfer portal, it is going to spread the wealth a little bit because North Carolina's already out. Kentucky's already out. Kansas got beat. Mm-hmm. So really, Duke of the Blue Bloods is the only one that's left in
Let's
it.
Let's hope they get put out.
You know, well, you get. You know,
well, I hope not. They're my champions.
But you got some new blood in there, Arizona.
I am leading the bracket.
No, you're last place. Kelly's in second and I'm in first.
What?
Your winning percentage, Bob, is just atrocious.
Is it really?
I was at like 93%. He's at like 30% and then you're at 8%.
8%.
8%.
I mean, you'd get 10 points on the ACT just spelling your name right. Apparently,
I didn't know.
No, I hadn't filled out a bracket in years. Yeah. But
I mean, for the most part, you're just guessing after the first round, pretty much. Yeah.
I took the ACT once, and then I was going to go try to take it a second time. They wouldn't let me. They said, "You're just wasting your time and hours. So we're just not going to allow it."
Thought you were going to say you got a 26, but you took it three times. That was your cumulative.
Four times.
But I hope if nothing else happens, NCAA basketball in the future, they will shorten the season.
Did you actually just say the most exciting sporting event is to watch a golf tournament
in America?
TV?
Yeah, I think so. The Masters? Are you kidding me? That's one of the best sporting events in America.
Let's go to the tote board. Is it there? Show us. Yeah, golf club.
Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping. Into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.